This is for informational purposes only.
Who wants to have some fun?
And now we're pleased to bring you our feature presentation.
Yes, it's time once again for Radio Free X-Man.
What's Radio Free X-Man?
We've got 11,000 people at NASA trying to figure that out right now.
Radio Free X-Man's beloved cast of broadcast entertainers are back.
You all know people like this. You may be people like this.
Now, the charming and delightful president of X-Man Mortgage and host of Radio Free X-Man, Bob.
Your head is freakishly large.
Brooks.
So, you know, hey, how many of you guys know Bob Dole? Anyone in the room here?
Personally?
I've never had drinks with him.
You guys ever listened to Bob Dole when he's like on the stump, or for that matter, Ted Kennedy? And he always says, go to the polls this month and vote for Bob Dole, because Bob Dole wants you to vote for Bob Dole.
Right. I saw some of his speeches. He greatly resembled a stump, but otherwise I didn't.
Right.
But he's a third-person guy. Bob Dole is saying Viagra's really good for your sex life.
That's Bob Dole.
And from Bob Dole. It's like, well, where is Bob Dole? I'm Bob Dole.
And, you know, dear old Ted Kennedy does that, too. You know, I have decided that here on Radio Free X-Man, I am going to do that as well.
Bob is going
You're
gonna
to take
speak?
Viagra?
I am, no. The tax goddess gets a little saucy, does she?
Oh,
well,
gee.
As your wife, I would think she could speak with some authority on this subject.
You note the surprise in my voice.
Brace yourself. You're about to get very popular.
I've decided I'm going to start doing that. I realize there are practical considerations, not the least of which my name isn't Bob Dole.
Well, you're halfway there anyway, really. Just like with the Viagra.
We'll just all call ourselves Bob Dole, and that way we won't be confused about who we actually
and,
are.
You know,
I think I'd have to be Liddy Dole.
And, you know, after they pay me for this fun, show, it's going to be Bob on the doll. Thank you.
You have to change your name to Bill. Maybe
yes, indeed. You are listening to Radio Free X-Man, where we discuss mortgage. Yeah, right. No, we really do discuss mortgage and financial matters, but we also discuss whatever comes to our mind, which up here is frequently a low-flying airplane.
And on that subject, may I introduce the discussion of Korgoth of Barbaria.
Korgoth of Barbaria.
Because we always go for the most serious subjects first on this program to make sure they get the maximum amount of time. This is a new cartoon that you will find on the Cartoon Network starting in September. I've seen the pilot episode not once, but a lucky twice on the Cartoon Network. And if you go to YouTube.com and type in Korgoth, K-O-R-G-O-T-H, in the search window,
he never refers to himself in the third person. So.
Korgoth says, you will like Korgoth of Barbaria.
You will regret what you have done this day. I will make you regret ever being born. I'm going to show you pain you never knew existed. You're going to see a whole new spectrum of pain, like a rainbow. But this rainbow is not just like any other rainbow. It's...
One of the few times in my life I wish this was TV instead of radio. I think it's the single funniest, most entertaining cartoon I've seen.
Well, hold on. Can we put a link to that on RadioFreeXMan.com?
Sure we can, on RadioFreeXMan.com.
Yes, RadioFreeXMan.com.
Could you repeat that? I didn't get that quite.
Let me think. Hold on.
Where you can email
hold
me.
Hold on. Here it is. RadioFreeXMan.com.
At BigDave@RadioFreeXMan.com.
Or indeed, X-Man@RadioFreeXMan.com. Oh, so much alliteration.
Yeah, really.
Or TaxGoddess@RadioFreeXMan.
I believe that's the Tax Goddess.
The Tax
there
Goddess.
There is only one.
There can be only one.
Many wow, people... let's cut her head off, see what happens.
First off, those of you may have gathered out here that we are indeed Radio Free X-Man. In front of me is Big Dog Dave, or Big Dave, at RadioFreeXMan.com.
You will regret what you have done this day.
To my left is Brewing Frog.
Thank you very much.
I will make you regret ever being born.
That's Korgoth right.
Korgoth like Brewing Frog.
Yeah. Kill you, I will.
No, he won't get any more beer if he does that.
That's right.
And you can reach him at BrewingFrog@RadioFreeXMan.com. And to my demi-left, to my not quite so left, is the Tax Goddess.
Who would look great in one of those torn leather bikinis that they wear in those barbarian cartoons.
We generally call those the female adventuring outfit.
Female adventuring outfit. Yes,
she does have a black plastic and leather abacus.
She could be that that barmaid in the first episode.
And she will rain down her 1040 judgment all over your butt.
And she will cause you a rainbow of pain.
Not just like any other rainbow.
Well, you know, on the subject of mortgage, I read my favorite story of the past week, and well, it's not really mortgage, but it's close. Well, okay, not really. But it could be, and that's what counts. And it's from the UK, right? And it's called Beer We Go. England's massive army of World Cup fans is drinking Germany dry, it emerged yesterday. Yeah. Breweries warned beer could run out before the final because of huge demand from our supporters. In Nuremberg, listen to this, guys. Organizers reveled 70,000 English fans who flooded and drank 1.2 million pints of beer. That's an average of 17 pints each.
It was warm. They were thirsty.
How can they stay on their feet long enough to riot? Laying on the ground, looking up, going, I'm punching you right now.
You know, wait a second. You know, think about this. It's going to get through the plumbing. Now, you are the waste management person for Nuremberg, Germany.
And let me tell you something about European plumbing. The pipes are very skinny, and they're 125 years old. They don't allow garbage disposals in a lot of European countries because they would clog up the pipes. The plumbing just flat can't handle it in Europe.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, but these guys still are second-rate pikers up next to Texas deer hunters.
We should get a charity beer drive going and send some over to Germany. I mean, we could even rewrite a classic old song like The Boys Are Thirsty in Berlina,
and there's beer in Texarkana, and we'll bring it back no matter what it takes. East and down,
loaded up and trucking.
The Germans running out of beer. Go figure.
It's like a sign of the apocalypse.
It is. Well, we had the great Berlin airlift of 1947. I mean, we could duplicate that. We could raise up a bunch of six-packs of Coors and drive some semis onto a C-5 Galaxy transport and send it over there. We wouldn't even have to land. You could just drop it over the stadium.
I think you could just pour it out of the you know, and they could just go like this.
You'd have 2 million.
Of course, it's hard to have that visual.
2 million soccer fans in a single file line chasing an airplane.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear this outhouse down.
What a tragedy. Germany running out of beer.
Oh, those poor folks.
Beyond belief. We were going to talk about taxes. I'm not sure why, but I understand it's on the itinerary for the program today.
We have an itinerary?
Yeah, it says right here, I, comma.
No, not I. It's Bob Brooks. You're talking in third person.
That's right. Bob Brooks is going to ask Bob Brooks' wife a question.
How did Bob Brooks' prescription bottle get in Rush Limbaugh's luggage?
On the subject of mortgage, perhaps someone out there has seen or heard of the Chicken Lady. And what? If they do, please email me at xman@radiofreeXman.com.
What channel is it on?
It's
10 years old, but it's some of the most twisted and funny stuff I've ever
maybe,
seen.
Maybe longer. It was on the Kids in the Hall long years ago. And Chicken Lady was a recurring character. And
I don't think she always had
trouble finding a date. Walk, walk, walk.
And so does Robbie, not coincidentally.
Yes, they're doing a particular skit, and poor Dave Thomas is going to be he's the straight guy. He's the date for the night.
He's the guy from news radio.
Yes, exactly. Before the news radio career really hit, our straight guy comes into the house.
You got to get the picture, though. Chicken Lady's like 7 feet tall.
Right.
And she's got a beak.
This is like Big Bird, right?
She looks kind of like Big Bird
from
on some
cartoon.
Kind of really too much caffeine trip.
Does she have feathers?
Yes.
Some. It's like a feather here and a feather there. So
it's
really sad looking.
It's like,
like a Star Trek transporter accident.
Yeah. Here's the Chicken Lady walking like, bawk, bawk, bawk. Will you please sit down, bawk, bawk.
Yes, bawk.
Just hold on. Would you like something to eat? Oh, well, yeah, sure. I'll make you something up. Okay.
He brings an omelet to him.
Our date begins to look around the house, and he sees two pictures on the wall. One is a chicken, one is a farmer who's acting like he really doesn't want to have his picture taken.
He's got his hand in front of his face.
Yeah. Who are these two people here? Oh, that's Mom. Bawk, bawk. And then there's Dad. Bawk, bawk. Oh, here's your supper. So she lays a plate in front of him. It's an omelet. He takes a couple of bites of it. He says, this is very good. Oh, yes. Bawk, bawk. Straight from my body to you.
Wow. I am so uncomfortable right now.
So there's about a second and a half pause where Dave is sitting there blank faced and then just lets out this horrible shriek.
A lot like the screams of Gorgoth of Barbarian.
Much like, yes.
The kind of comic timing we wish we had on this program.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Yep. That's why they're paid for it.
We have the tax goddess here with us. And Robbie, I believe you had a question for the tax goddess.
I had a question for the tax goddess. I am a supremely lazy person. I filed an extension. I still haven't done delete squat. Now the IRS has sent me a letter that says, file or else. Help.
Well, Brewing Frog, you know, I've got a bachelor's degree from Rice, the triple major in management, economics, and Spanish. And I've also got a master's degree from Rice in accounting.
That's a heck of a credential package.
Certified public accountant and a certified financial planner. Been in practice, gosh, more years than I prefer to admit to, but about 14. And in my extensive experience, I would have to say that the answer to your question is file the return, dummy!
File the return, Robbie!
I think they call that a clue, Watson.
So, tax goddess, I have a friend who got a notice in the mail not too long ago saying the IRS has worked out that he owes more money.
The biggest mistake people make is assuming that the notice is right. A lot of the time they're not, or they only show part of the picture and there's mitigating factors. So the first thing I would say is read the notice. You'd be amazed at how many people just write the check and just assume it's correct.
Out of
doesn't the IRS count on that sometimes?
Of course they do.
Yeah, they're not afraid to use their intimidation factor.
They have a slush fund to pay for their mistakes out of people who sent them money they don't deserve.
But when you're talking about a significant amount of money, if you understand what it says and it's right, well, maybe you should go pay it. But the smart thing to do is spend a little bit of money and have a professional look at it. Every year I get people who come in who are new clients and they show me their tax return from last year and say, I got a notice on it. And we look at the notice and say, you never owed this money. I have a gentleman, new client who came in this year, and every year, we can't go back before 2002 because the statute of limitations is run. But every year they send him a letter saying he owes another $3,000 or $4,000. And he's like a lamb led to slaughter, written out a check and sent it without ever understanding why he owed the money. Well, not only did he not owe that money, but he was entitled to about $800-$900 more every year because he had capital losses that were affecting it. Now, unfortunately, when the statute of limitations runs, can't go back no matter how much you overpaid. But so in his case, we're amending 3 years' worth of returns and getting him back about $12,000.
But he was doing this before 2002, and he's actually permanently lost money because of this.
If you truly have a wages and a bank account with interest, you can probably do your own tax return. But most people think that their tax situation is much more simple than it truly is. And any good CPA, a good CPA, is in the long run going to save you far more money than we're ever going to charge you.
Now, I'm going to ask you the layman's question. I have this sense that I'd rather send them $100 more than I owe them and keep them off my back. Is that based in reality? Do they actually have a higher percentage of likelihood to bother you if you go to more effort to save every little dollar here and there?
Only if you write nya 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 on the bottom of your tax return.
I wasn't thumbing my nose. I was reading you Beatles lyrics. Yes, that's it.
He loves you.
Tax man.
What you just said is a very, very common misperception.
That if you send them money and do your forms simply, then they won't bother you and it's worth the investment to not be bothered
they
by
count, them. The IRS counts on that. They have no incentive for you to pay as little as possible. There's no downside for them. And they count on the fact that they intimidate people when they send these notices, that people will be so scared that they'll just send the money in. It's a very common misconception. If you really get overly aggressive, well, there could be an issue. It's very hush-hush what parameters the IRS looks at. They keep it very secretive. If you're outside of certain parameters, given your income level and filing status and such, that you could trigger an audit. But
I understand that the home office deduction is a big red flag.
Home office deduction is a big red flag. Not quite as much as it used to be because they've liberalized the rules a bit, but it is a red flag.
Because so many people do work in home offices now, it's no longer the bogus issue that it used to be.
Right. Things have changed in 20 years. But ultimately, if you have the documentation to support it, they can audit you all they want, but they're not going to get anything out of it.
Yeah, but it ruins your day. It wastes your time. It makes you have to take time off from work. It's a pain in the patoot to get audited.
Yeah, but it's fun to beat them, man.
Well,
it's fun to have the tax goddess on your side and stare them down.
There is nothing more fun in what I do than to have a client get a notice from the IRS. Usually they're a new client and they come in, and the IRS says they owe money, and by the time I'm done with it, the IRS owes them money. I love doing that.
Well, here, I've got to take this just a little step further, tax goddess. And you've alluded to this in our, you know, throughout our relationship together, and I sort of wanted you to expound on this a little bit.
I'm a little afraid now.
I don't want to mention a certain nationwide McTax firm, but let's just say it rhymes with H&R Schmock. why would I want to seek out someone professional, such as yourself, the tax goddess, rather than take it to McTax Firm?
Actually, the franchise tax return preparation places are one of my biggest pet peeves. They are completely incompetent. One of the family owners of H&R Schmock actually goes to one of the big four accounting firms for that person's taxes.
No kidding.
Yep.
Well, incompetent's a pretty strong word.
Like a chef who won't eat in his own restaurant.
People who are preparers, they're certainly not CPAs, and I would never suggest going to a preparer who is not a certified public accountant. Mm. Most preparers that you see these little signs and these little tax preparation shacks, even if they're not one of the franchises, these are not CPAs. It's not like with law where you have to have a license to practice law. CPA has the right to do certain things that other people don't, but there is no license to practice tax. And so you have a lot of fly-by-night operations that really have no business what they're doing. Now, in the case of the franchise preparation firms, these are people who are not CPAs. They're not accountants. They don't have degrees in accounting. They take about a six-week training course where they learn how to fill in the forms on the computer screen. But they don't know how to ask any of the questions. They don't even know enough to realize when they don't know something. And in the 14 years I've been in practice, I have seen one franchise return that was actually completely correct. And I'm not talking about little things here and there. I've found some very substantial errors that...
We're talking with the Tax Goddess, who can be reached at thetaxgoddess@radiofreeixman.com. Please continue.
Thank you, Bob Dole.
Bob Dole says, if you want a good accountant, marry her.
I'm Bob Dole, and Bob Dole approves this message.
Thank you, Bob.
So I really, really would dissuade people from going there. The amount of money that you're paying is not substantially more to get someone who's actually competent, and the price that you pay for the amount of taxes that you overpay or for the problems when you do get audited – and there's no backup, it's really being very penny wise and pound foolish.
And, you know, now that we're having fun with this subject, that brings me to another one of your pet peeves, and that is people who have law degrees but not CPAs doing tax returns.
You would let a lobotomized person do your tax return? What is wrong with that picture?
So why do lawyers even involve themselves with taxes?
You know, that's a really, really good question that I don't think anyone actually knows the answer to. Attorneys are very good at research. They're very good at analyzing tax documents. But most, not all, but most tax attorneys are not particularly good at compliance. Ooh. They aren't into the nitty-gritty details.
They're used to telling you what to do.
They're looking at the broad spectrum. Hmm. Even among CPAs, not all CPAs are tax specialists. You go to any one of the four remaining large firms or any large accounting firm, and the people on the tax side of it, the partners, the heavy hitters, do their own tax returns, but the people in audit and consulting, when you've got a partner in, say, Pricewaterhouse, for example, on the audit side, they're financial accountants. They're not tax accountants. They don't do their own tax returns. They get the tax department to do their tax returns.
So now let's see. We have Pricewaterhouse and H&R Schmock joining in the lawsuit against Radio Free X-Man that will be filed by several tax attorneys.
Well, I can list the other major accounting firms so we can get them all in there. I mean,
Announcement. This is our opinion. It doesn't matter squat.
And they can send the initial summons by email to bruinfrog@radiofreeixman.com.
Don't worry, it'll go right into my spam file.
You know, I really love that Weird Al Yankovic song, Spam.
Mm-hmm.
That is an awesome song.
What about the Monty Python song?
Oh, Spam a Lot?
Yeah, the Spam song, originally on Monty Python's...
Nah, Weird Al's got a... Weird Al's version rocks.
And on the...
Spam, 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 spam!
Vibrato and all. Oh, impressive.
My gosh, what was that?
Spam.
I've never heard anyone sing, so what's the word?
Don't say the word. This is a family show.
Me! Oh, I got it! No! 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 He said it! He said it again! Oh, I said it!
Okay, now the...
I see a herring and I'm out of here.
The program rapidly deteriorates into a bunch of
Monty Python references.
Lines from Monty Python followed by gales of laughter.
You could say it went off the rails, but we're not sure if rails even existed in the first place, so... Well, anyway, no, mortgage.
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 Mortgage. All right, anyway. So
Radio Free X-Men is brought to you by X-Men Mortgage or X-Men Inc.
It goes, brought to you by.
Well, I always, growing up, I always thought that was one word, brought to you.
Brought to you
brought
by.
To you, brought to you to buy.
Yeah, and President George H.W. Bush doesn't eat brought to you.
Right. I'm the president of the United States now, and I don't have to eat broccoli.
Well, he's got a mad brotude.
At least he put his foot down about something.
And everyone says he's namby-pamby. Come on. Yes,
that sounds like a pretty firm opinion to me.
He's so convinced he hates broccoli, he barfed in the Japanese prime minister's lap.
There you go. That opinion had a little blue pill, didn't it? Firmed right up. Thank you very much. Anyway, so, ow!
And on that would be the tax goddess expressing her displeasure.
Yeah, physically.
And on the subject of mortgage.
Is there a better way?
And on the subject of mortgage. Look, I don't have to stop the program in order to edit it, okay?
Right.
I can edit it while we're flying along.
See, I thought he was going to say, keep it up, and I'm going to turn this radio show around.
It'll be going,
we're facing stiff competition.
I know Bob wants desperately to talk about mortgages now, being the president and CEO of Expand Mortgage, but one more Korgoth reference, if I may. Just kidding.
And on the subject of mortgage.
Yeah, really. So anyway, actually had a question the other day.
That would be my book, Mortgage and Barbarians. I like that. That'll be my memoirs, Mortgages and Barbarians.
That's a really stupid title.
Another one of those.
Hog like cave. Hog my cave.
Hog have adjustable rate. Yeah,
another one of those.
Hog get right on head with club.
One of those self-published coffee table books.
All right, you're about to say something, sir.
Sold 2,000 copies, and Bob knows because he bought all 2,000 of them.
Aren't straight.
Oh, I'm sure our mothers would buy one or two copies.
Yeah, really. Total sales to date? Six. Okay, yeah, much like the Daily Kos book. Anyway, stacked up on bargain shelves in bookstores across the nation.
His mom must have big closets. That's all I can
say. Right next to Susan Anton, A Life.
My life so far.
Wasn't there a question mark, though? Susan Anton, A Life?
That's right.
Yeah, really.
On the subject of mortgage.
How do you write a book in 3-syllable words or less? Anyway, so...
well, this most recent book was when she first started using verbs.
Indeed.
Thank you, Steve Martin.
All conjunctions. A and the. Thank you, Susan. You're beautiful. Just talk some more. Anyway, so... I'm the golden girl. Yeah, you said it. Anyway, so a buddy of mine calls me up and he says, hey, I know you do mortgages and everything, but we're thinking about building a commercial building.
Ah, commercial mortgage.
Can you guys do that?
Absolutely.
And absolutely we can. And people are always, you know, curious about that. Do I have to go to a big box bank to get a commercial loan? Because that's the only way they think they can do this.
Right, absolutely. But you do need to understand that about commercial mortgages, this is more of an advanced type of mortgage.
Indeed.
Indeed, you're going to be proving your income. You're going to be proving your assets. You're going to have to be showing, for example, if you're buying income-producing property, they're going to want to see, or we're going to want to see, information about the income on that property and how well it does. Generally speaking, the rule of thumb is on residential mortgages, they're going to look at you. They're going to look at the borrower or the buyer. On commercial mortgages, they're going to look at the project. They're going to look at the property that you're doing. Of course, you got to be pretty squared away, too. You cannot have doorknobs buying properties under commercial loans.
Define doorknob.
That's the thing you turn to make the door open.
Or a generally witless individual. Someone who spews drivel and votes Democratic. Just kidding! Just kidding!
Whoa, there went half our audience. Wait a minute.
Well, we still have one listener left.
Exactly.
Hi, Mom.
If half the audience is gone.
That's right.
I'd like to thank my mother for tuning in, yes.
My only question is, if the public thinks you have to go to a big box bank to get a commercial mortgage loan, how did they grow to be so wretchedly misinformed?
Because they don't necessarily do mortgages. And they do mortgages, but they do mortgages for a very, for generally speaking, a more narrow stratum of individuals.
Just for houses they can't afford. That's the only way.
Yes, that's for houses.
How's that,
yes.
How's that commercial go? I'm in debt up to my eyes.
Really?
Somebody please save me.
How does he do it?
My name is Mr. Shambles, Mr. Credit in Shambles. Thank you very much.
Just call me CI.
Yeah, my credit rating is 4. No, not 400. Four. Right, okay.
I'm going to want to know that you guys don't lend money to people who can't afford to buy a house. Tell me you don't do that.
No. No, we don't. We also...
Well, hold it. You've got to define can't afford to.
Well, no, you have to define
Well,
that.
Yes, I do define
as
can't afford to.
As an ethical mortgage lender.
And we're extremely ethical, and I do not lend money to people who cannot afford to buy a house.
I didn't think so, Bob.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And
Generally
if you'd like to find out idea. If you can afford to buy a house, tune in to RadioFreeXMan.com or XManInc.com. And all you need to do is go to Google and type in IXMAN, and there we are.
It is amazing out of so many X-Mans in this world that yours comes up at the top of the list.
Yeah,
shocking,
I know.
Frankly.
I know. I've seen, what, four, five, six X-Man already today. Ran them right over with the big truck, too. Try and keep that population
Don't you
down.
Know they're an endangered species?
Well, you know, I wanted a word that was at least semi-unique.
No, we named it after the dog. Be
well,
honest.
But then it is semi-unique, you must understand.
But it isn't the dog's name. It's the dog's nickname.
It was the dog's nickname.
Which and is named after Aztec. Author.
Yeah, it's not a, it's a nickname of a name that came from the name of a person.
Yes.
And so the genesis of the name X-Man Mortgage is perennially baffling to me and definitely for both of our listeners as well.
So
perennially
ding for those of you keeping score at home.
And I don't want either one of you calling in and complaining that you can't follow along with this program. Really?
There'll be a test at 5.
Pop quiz when I crawl over the transom. As the old college professor joke goes. What were we talking about anyway?
We were talking about mortgage and how easy it is to get a mortgage, especially with the likes of X-Man, IXMAN.
Ah, very good. Keep pimping that name. No, it was actually about the commercial end of things in terms of...
Sir, I do not pimp.
And did somebody say commercial?
Yeah, really. Wait a second.
We are winging it.
And on the subject of mortgage...
Ooh. Again with the mortgages.
It's a mortgage show or something. Jeez.
I wanted to get your opinion on the whole global warming thing. Because I've been surviving these past few days, this past week or so, and I look at my little thermometer, and it does indeed go up to 98, 99 degrees.
Mm-hmm. You know it's East Texas, right?
And I'm saying, gosh, it's so hot, it's got to be global warming. It's not that I'm in East Texas during the summer.
Well, yeah, you know, I can alarm everybody. Do you know that the average daily temperature has gone up like 20? Maybe even 30 degrees since January?
No!
The horror!
We're all gonna die!
Well, hold it. In all seriousness, is it true that the Earth's I know nothing about the core temperature, but that the Earth's mean temperature has only gone up a degree in the last 100 years? Is that for real?
You need to stop making it mean.
That's right.
That's the bottom line.
That's a pretty
line.
Mean temperature for us. Yes.
In fact,
degree.
It did feel pretty good this morning.
Well, the real bottom line is... They got no way of knowing any of this. When was the thermometer invented?
Exactly.
In the 1800s.
Very
and the
good.
Only, yeah. The only certain thing in the temperature of the Earth.
Well, they studied tree
existed.
Roots and tea leaves. That's what the scientists say.
Yeah.
That's what
you left out pig entrails. But yes, these are many of the things they're using for research methods on this.
And as I was saying, gentlemen, the only thing that always is the same is the Earth is constantly going through periods of heating and periods of cooling.
That's right.
And you would know.
That would be a steely glare from the tax goddess.
All right, we'll make that. Now, here's the real deal on global warming. I read somewhere recently a group of former Soviet scientists who used to have careers and incomes and food
now they don't have
that,
income. So
now they're broke, and they are sad about that because if they had $1 million, say
if
these former Soviet meteorologists, they'd bet the Americans and the Europeans that in 10 years it's going to be colder than it is now, not warmer. The reason being that the primary cause of the recent spate of global warming that is undeniable and measurable, even though fairly small, all things considered, is caused by sunspots, by excess solar flares and solar activity, and that this, in fact, is now over the hump and on the wane as sunspot cycles go. And the primary...
So the sun is actually hotter.
The sun's hotter, therefore the Earth is hotter. Hello!
Do y'all remember in the 80s how we were all told there was going to be another ice age?
And that was all the way back in the 70s.
Yes. Well, they were still saying it in the 80s.
But you're younger, so it was the 80s.
Pollution was going to blot out the sun, and we were all going to freeze to death, and therefore we should stop polluting.
The same gases that were causing the greenhouse effect now were going to cause the ice age.
Exactly.
I was reading an article the other day, and it was saying how historically, and I don't know how accurate it is, of course, they were saying that the Earth has gone through about periods of roughly 100,000 years of ice, and then 10 years of nice, 10,000 years of nice, and then 100,000 years of ice. And, and they said that we're actually at 10,500 years, so we're 500 years overdue for our ice age, which, you know, well, kind of sucks. But
when they're talking about geological ages like that, they put the little thing there that says all ages approximate. It's like, yeah, we're close within, you know, 10,000 years or such. We'll fudge a little bit by a, you know, an eon. Yeah, but you know, the other thing you have to remember is it's like we really don't have any clue as to what, you know, what the spatial content is out there. Yeah, it's space, it's vacuum. Well, actually it isn't. Yeah, every, you know, square meter or so, you got one little hydrogen atom. Well, the sun works off of this stuff. It burns it up. Depending on how rich the medium of space that our sun is passing through as it orbits about the center of the galaxy, depends on how hot it's going to burn. I mean, it's you know, like Dave was just saying a second ago, you heave two or three more logs on the fire, it's going to be warmer.
You think?
Yeah.
And look, here's
so
another,
you heave a couple more hydrogen atoms on the sun.
Here's
yes,
another
volumetrically,
of,
and guess
evidence.
What?
That a lot of people are ignoring, and that is in the 1600s, there was a 30 or 40 year period of time
the
when
the little ice age,
the mini ice age, when southern England, which is normally fruitful and bountiful in terms of crops, was frozen over, had permafrost, nothing grew there for generations. Generations of people starved for lack of food in this
period.
Wouldn't only one generation
coconuts.
Starve, and then there wouldn't be other generations?
Roughly speaking.
Unless they ate the first generation.
There was the migration from the south of France, too, because Britons always vacation in France. See, and when they came back, there weren't any. So,
yes, they go over to drink all the beer.
Didn't the canals in Venice freeze over?
They did several times.
In that time period.
But if you go back another 600 or 800 years, when the Vikings were first leaving the Nordic countries to explore to the west, and they eventually, of course, found... What, Toronto? They found somewhere. Oh, Newfoundland. That's why
Greenland.
It's called Newfoundland. Yeah, they landed over there, but on their way, they stopped at Iceland and Greenland, and they were farming. There are
not
archaeological
farming,
expeditions.
They were raising cows.
Showing that they had an entire agricultural, functioning agricultural lifestyle on the shores of Greenland, which, might I mention now, are under 20 feet of ice today. So just in a past recent enough that we can read written words from people who lived at that time, we had crops being grown where there's 20 feet of ice today, and we had 20 feet of ice where crops were being grown 400 years ago. And so I have very little confidence in the idea that man in his industrial age can make that much of a difference when much larger differences have already been made just in recent history that we can read about. And it almost borders on arrogance to me to hear people say that it's our fault when larger variations have occurred within modern history that we can read back and see. And it had nothing to do with the industrial age. It had nothing to do with people. It's just natural cyclical behavior.
And if you want to look at the things that have really affected temperature in the last 100 years, Krakatoa.
Oh, I'll say. One volcano outputs more polluting gases than every industrial age machine combined in the history of industry. One volcano makes more of a difference in the Earth's atmosphere than all the industrial age put together.
Yeah, I think they measure when Mount Pinatubo blew up in the Philippines in about 1991. They said that it spewed 20 times more pollutants into the atmosphere than man had produced, period.
That's what I'm saying.
And a lot of the point is that the fact is we don't really know what affects the weather. They can't even accurately tell you if it's going to rain or not tomorrow. And so it's really arrogance to think, one, that we as mere human beings have that much effect on the planet's weather.
Indeed.
And two, that even if we do have an effect, that we have any idea what that effect is.
But there's one thing through all this that I know for sure.
It's Bush's fault.